Welcome to the Transform Your Mind Radio Hour and Podcast, a show about transformation, mindset transformation. This is Life Coach Marnie Young, and in my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement, I share my journey of being born in poverty in Guyana to have an abundance in America. And I did it by changing my mindset. Let's go do it. Each week, I bring you guests or one-on-one coaching sessions to help you change your mindset and transform your life. Welcome. This is Life Coach Marnie Young. And you have tuned in to the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life radio podcast, and now television program. I want to welcome my newest audience, which is my audience from the Preach the Word Worldwide Television Network. Welcome. So today we have an exciting topic for all you single ladies and single men out there. We are going to be talking on the topic of how does one find success in dating during COVID-19? And my guest today is none other than dating and relationship coach, Anwar White. Welcome, Anwar.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Excellent. Yes, I'm so happy to have this conversation. So I'm, helping you single women and men maybe get some tips, because I know we're in some unprecedented times where everything is remote. Nobody can meet in person. And I know that that's, having some challenges. So Anwar is going to share some tips. But since we have a new audience, I want to include some information on Christian dating. Yeah. So, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that do not be unequally yoked, which means that Christian should look for partners in marriage where both of them share the same faith, beliefs, practices, such as praying, reading the Bible, and going to church. And single women and men still need to date and find the right partners. So, which is why we're going to be talking about how to effectively date during COVID-19. So Anwar, tell us your journey to becoming a dating coach. And I also know that you host your own podcast, which is called How to Get Your Guy. So I guess the conversation is towards women. So can you explain your journey and what you guys do on your podcast as we start?
Of course. So again, thank you so much for having me. My name is Anwar White, and I have been, helping the boys talk to the girls and the girls talk to the boys ever since elementary school. I've been always someone who's been able to speak with anyone and everyone, right? And be able to connect with so many different people. And so I really, that's what I started kind of doing this work. It wasn't until I had really gotten my MBA and I was kind of catching up with all of my, female classmates, and I was trying to figure out, how they were doing, what was going on with them, and everything was going well in their life except for love.
Yeah.
And it was like so crazy to me, because these were like the most amazing people that I had ever met in my entire life, right? And so I took it upon myself, since I am a very type A kind of person. I was just like, okay, we're going to figure this out, girl. So I was like, I'm taking over your love life, and we're like going to get this solved, because this doesn't make any sense. And so I slowly started working with a variety of my former classmates, and we got a lot of really great success. They were having boyfriends very quickly, and we're getting married within 2 years, and they were telling more and more and more people in terms of working with me. And then I got certified as a relationship coach, and during that certification I was working with women and thousands of women and men all around the world. So I don't want your listeners to think that I just know about women. I also am very focused on how men are thinking about dating, relationships, and love as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then I've been kind of doing my own thing as an entrepreneur and coaching women all around the world, specifically women of color, smart and successful women of color, how right. to heal their heart, how to date effectively. And then obviously, as the namesake of my coaching program and my podcast, get their guy.
How to
right?
get your guy, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Okay. All right. So that's a good story. So it sounds like you were born with the aptitude for this work, because when people start doing things earlier on, that means that this is something that you were, and you've got the personality too, you know, all the smiles and everything. So
girl, you really shouldn't be flirting with me on your own podcast.
That's true. That's right. So that's awesome. 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 Right. So before, you know, COVID started, the online dating world was doing quite well because, like you said, you talked to a lot of successful women and men, and they weren't able to connect. Something was missing. Everybody's looking. Like, the guys are looking, the girls are looking, and nobody is connecting. So, you know, that was a space for the dating, online dating world to explode. But now they are experiencing, I guess, unprecedented growth, because that's the only place now that you can, for the last year, that's the only place that you can meet someone. So how do you think dating is forever changed because of COVID-19? And second part to that question is, how can, you know, singles find success dating during COVID times? Do you have a special information on how they do it online, or you've got any other tips?
Yeah. Okay. So the first question was about what exactly?
How do
I'm
you
a
find
one question
success,
at a time kind right? of guy.
Well, there is really a question. It's like dating will be forever changed, Drew, because of COVID-19. So, okay, so maybe you can start with that. You know, how do you think that we will be changed forever? Would
Got
we
it.
Stick to the online dating thing, or people are going to scoot back to churches and bars and, you know, all those places and sporting events that they did before, right?
I think about this the same way I think about online purchases and e-commerce. Right?
Good.
Obviously, during the last year, we have been buying most of everything online.
Yeah.
And so that's represented, let's say, 80% of how we purchase things. I think it's the same way with dating right now as well, where I know for the clients that I work with, that is the primary way that they are meeting future partners, right? Or just dating in general.
Right.
It's not to say that that's going to be forever the case. Mm-hmm. I do think that when things open up and things become, let's say, more normalized, that people are still going to be meeting people in real life much more often, right? I think like e-commerce represented 20% of the way that we shopped in general. Not, it's actually, it's crazy because it's similar in terms of online dating as well. Like roughly 20% of relationships came from online dating.
Right.
Now that looks like a little bit more like 40 and 50%, right?
That's all? I thought you were going to say 80. So it's only 40 to 50%.
I'm talking about more like e-commerce annually for 2020, right? And it's kind of like a weighted average. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that things are going to open up later this year. And so I would assume that it's going to be a higher margin than 20%. It's going to look like 40 and 50%, closer to 40% or so, just like e-commerce.
Right.
We're shopping for love when it comes to online dating. And it's the same mentality that people are thinking about when they're looking for love. So yes, it has changed this year. Is it going to look like that forever? Definitely not. It'll definitely go back and normalize. Like, I was at the malls during the holiday season, right? The malls were packed. It's not like we're not going to not shop in stores.
Right.
And so we're not going to stop dating in real life or meeting people in real life. We yearn for connection. We're human beings, and it's what we need, right? Yeah. And so to think that all of a sudden, just because there's another way to do it, that we're going to abandon the way that we've always been doing it, I think is not something that is going to be realistic.
Okay. All right, so let me remind you of the second question. So how can one find success dating during COVID times? And as you were talking, I actually had this, you know, download that maybe, you know, people were running from the online dating before because they didn't think that it was normal. But something tells me that maybe they're having much more success online than they are meeting someone at a bar. So can you touch on that too?
Yeah. I think that it's interesting. So success is going to look differently for everyone, right? I think for some people, success is actually just having conversations, right? And just talking with other people. For other people, it's going to look like actually having a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And for other people, it's going to be getting married, right? Mm-hmm. So, or just getting out there. So I guess it's important for your listeners to also understand exactly what their definition of success is when it comes to dating and relationships first and foremost. And that's going to be different for everyone.
All right, let me interrupt you there though. But if someone is dating, where I was going with this is that I would think in my generation, if I'm dating, I want to get married. And the reason I hesitated on that question is because some people now, you're right, marriage is not their end goal. So
No, it isn't. And it's funny, I work with clients all around the world, and my clients have different wants and desires. Right, marriage is not the end all be all for some people, right? For most, it is.
Yes, right.
That's what I'm saying. But again, I'm thinking about this in stages, right? Like, maybe I don't want to be married now, but I might want to be married in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Then I'm not necessarily ready for marriage right now, but I am ready to dip my toe in the water or to have conversations or to make connections. So when that's why I say, like, what is your goal or what is success for you is something that is very important for you to establish first and foremost before you enter into what I call the dating game, the love game, right? To enter into this sphere, this realm of dating first and foremost. Secondly, I think it's important for us to realize kind of where we are at as a people, as a society, right? I think COVID and the pandemic and being quarantined has really shifted the way that a lot of people are thinking about life and reprioritizing it. That's why people are, you know, creating new businesses, completely changing their careers, right? Doing more creative endeavors. Because it was a moment for us to actually really think about our mortality, right? It was these existential crises that a lot of individuals that were having about what is my legacy going to be? What do I really want? What are the voids in my life and how can I fill them? What have I been avoiding that I shouldn't because tomorrow is not promised, right? And so I'm bringing all of these things up because I think it's important for us to understand that people are more open to actually having serious relationships and connection with other individuals, probably more than in our lifetime because of this pandemic, right? And you can even feel that if you're married or actually, you know, partnered with anyone, even in your friendships, there's this desire that I still want more and more connection. I say that to say we're in an environment where you have the highest probability of being successful because people are actually ready and they weren't as ready before. The other thing that I want to say about kind of these times is that it has changed the way that people are dating, right? That, and I'm saying this because to be successful, we have to be open-minded and understand these things, that the acceleration or the velocity of courtship has slowed down. And before it would be like, I would get your number and then we would go out and that would be it, right? Now it's, we're gonna chat for a little bit. We might have a few phone calls. We might have a video call and then we might go on our actual first in real life date, right? Completely different in terms of the time, energy that one is getting to know another person. And in doing that, what happens is that you have a higher probability of actually connecting with someone, right? Even before the first date. And it's so different than it was back then, because before I'd be like, okay, let me have your number. Let's figure out a date. Let's go out. And you would have a date within 3 days, right?
Yeah.
Now it takes,
that makes sense.
It takes 2 or 3 weeks, right? To actually go on a physical date.
Right.
Like, and because also
everyone has to go.
That, but also everyone has different levels of their, I want to say, COVID comfortability-ness, right? Everyone's different and has a different comfortability level when it comes to COVID. I know for the clients that I work with, right? I have some people that I'll go out, like, I don't care. Other people are like, no, I'm not ready. I don't feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Respect that. That's valid. And everyone else that they're engaged with kind of has to respect that too. And that's why this courtship phase is a little bit kind of spread out and slower, which I think is actually really good. And it's exciting. And that's why I want to encourage everyone out there that this would be the time to actually be dating, that you're going to be successful because you get to know people much better.
Yes. What I think COVID has pointed out to people is that we're social beings. And there's something that says you don't miss something until you lose it. And being closeted, not being able to go out and not being able to do things before, you were taking it for granted. But after you're being closeted and locked down for a long time, it started making people crazy. So it brought to the forefront, if you are without a partner, or you were without friends, and you were without someone to talk to. So you're right. I think that the women and men that were going around saying, I don't need anybody. It's highlighting the fact that, I need people, and I need a relationship, or I need someone to talk to, or I just need somebody to connect with.
Yeah. Netflix and video games can only latch you for so long before you're like, what else is there? Right. The other thing that I wanted to say really quickly too about success in online dating is that, and specifically in this time, is that this time has also given us a lot of time to self-reflect and to have more self-awareness. And so if that's something that you have been avoiding or not trying to do, right, that is something that's going to contribute to your success during these times as well. Because what I know about doing this and doing this well, and I have been doing this for about 10 years now, is that you have to bring your whole entire self to this love game, or you're not going to be successful. If you're bringing facades, if you're, not addressing the things that you have been avoiding or ignoring or ashamed of, and you're hiding those parts of yourself, then people are not really getting to know you and being able to love you fully. So this time has also given people the opportunity, and I'm hoping for those people out there still now, the opportunity to address and heal some of those things, so that when they are meeting their person, that they can be ready to be the best partner that they can be.
So are you thinking that they're doing a self-reflection themselves, or they're hiring a coach like you, for instance?
Some are hiring a coach, definitely. I think the coaching industry has actually, people think that exploded. It wouldn't do well. It's exploded. Right. It's exponential, right? Because they have actually had the time and space to sit back, exhale, and be like, I'm not happy about these things. Instead of like working and doing that rat race, I had time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, these are the things that I'm unhappy about. These are the things I'm stuck on. Let me get help with that, right? Yeah. There's not much else for me to do, so let me work on myself.
Yeah.
Right. So people, I think some people are getting coaching or getting help. The majority of people are doing it on their own as well.
Yeah.
And that works out too. That works out well too. I just think that coaching and coaches can help you with those blind spots to accelerate that work and potentially that healing to get you to your goal, whatever that may be.
Yeah. And that's why I asked the question, because I know 95% of us are not living a conscious life, which means that they can't sit down and, see their blind spots, or see, have this self-reflection that says, I'm 50 and I'm still single and I'm unmarried. What do you think that is contributing to that? I mean, not very many people can sit down and actually do that self-reflection unless they read a book, maybe listen to a podcast, or maybe get a coach, but they need some kind of input in order to go into those areas and do an actual self-reflection, which is why I basically asked you. So that's good. So the question I have here, what are the top dating mindset shifts that are critical to successful dating? So you started by talking a minute ago to bringing your whole self to a relationship. And, you know, I've never been on a dating site, so I can't talk to it with any kind of experience or any kind of truth. But my opinion of it is that a lot of people go on there and they hide, which is basically what you just said. They put up these pictures that are not like themselves, and they put up these profiles that says they like all these different things, and it's not really them. And which is why when you get to talk to them, you're finding that you know, what they're saying over here on the right is different from saying over here on the left. So with that in mind, what kind of mindset shift do you think that has to happen for people to be successful in relationships, not only online dating, but in person? Because again, you go on a first date and you know, you don't always share yourself. You always trying to pretend and do something different. You know what I mean? Because you want someone to like you, or you want to have this whole big facade. So
yeah, I think there are a couple of things when I think about kind of mindset set shifts when it comes to dating. I think a lot of people try to date their clone, someone who's just like them. If I am, you know, from the Caribbean, and right, I am Christian and I work in IT, I have clients like this, right? Yes. That they think that I should find someone that's just like that. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's not necessarily the case. And most people don't date like that, right? And I actually have a really great success rate in terms of getting my clients like, and finding their person. That's not how it generally looks like. The person that you think in your head that you idealize in terms of who you want to be with, generally, for the most part, is someone, the love is there, but the package comes differently, right? And so I think it's important for us to realize that we have to be more open-minded when it comes to dating, and realize that it's not about what their resume or what their paper looks like. It's really about how they're making me feel and how they're treating me, right? I think a lot of people will be, you know, and it's different for men and women, right? I think women will be looking at, you know, what kind of education he has, what sort of money he makes, sometimes does he own his car, home, right? Those sorts of things.
Right.
And, you know, I work with smart and successful women, and my clients are like, go to Harvard and Yale. I actually got a text message from my client last night after a date, and she was saying, you know, the date was really well, he's amazing, but she was having some hesitancy because you know, he's an office manager and he took a little bit too long to calculate the tip. And I'm like, girl, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. But I'm saying that we have to shift our mindset around, well, actually you had an amazing time, right? And you connected with this person,
right?
And on the men's side, it's about really how she looks, right? And how seductive she is and her curvature and all of that. So we have to think beyond that and really focus in on the things that are going to fulfill us from a long-term perspective, right? Because chemistry, right? And this is another kind of mindset shift that I want us to be thinking about. I want us to be focusing on compatibility, right? Which is about how we vibe, how we connect, how we mesh, and how we, I always think of compatibility is like, can we make 1,000 decisions in one day together? Because that's really what being in a relationship is all about.
You're meshing with your thinking and your thought process.
You have to be able to be on the same page on a lot of different things, right? Or you're going to be arguing about every little thing.
Right.
The mindset shift is about prioritizing compatibility over chemistry. And I think a lot of people are focused on the chemistry when they're dating and not the compatibility. The chemistry meaning, do I have those butterflies in my stomach, right? And the problem with that, I think that that's great. And there should be some of that, but that shouldn't be the be all end all, because ultimately chemistry chemically and biologically, it fades within 18 months of our body.
Yes.
After 18 months, if that's all you had, if you just wanted to, if that's what you were kind of writing.
Then you're in a marriage with the kids and you're thinking one thing and she's thinking something and your parenting styles are different. And that whole thing, right?
But that's why you see, like, when you look at divorce rates, those first 2 years are so crucial.
Because
oftentimes what happens is that chemistry starts to fade during that time. Then you don't have much of anything, So I want us to be prioritizing compatibility over chemistry. And that's a shift that doesn't happen automatically. That's something that you have to, like, continue to work toward in terms of being able to date and to be looking for things in a different way. So yeah, I talked about not dating your clone. I talked about compatibility over chemistry. I also think it's important for us, and I hinted toward this, but, like, really understanding the themes, what's on your checklist, and if that checklist is serving you or not, right? Like I said before, if you're a woman out there and you want a guy that is making six figures, that's great, but that's only like 9% of the population. Right. If you want a guy out there that is 6 feet tall or taller, right, that's good. I think that's roughly like 8% of the population of men, right? I'm talking to women now. If you want someone with a graduate degree, that's like 6% of people out there, right? It's, if you want someone that owns a home, I think it's like 20% or something like that. So if you multiply all of that together, right, you actually, it's maybe 1%, if that. And that's not even taking into account if that person likes you back or not.
Which is really the main thing, because you don't like everybody, even if the checklist is fine. You don't always 100% you don't like them, because it's a biological thing, right?
It's that's definitely true. The other thing that I like to tell my clients is that you have to know how this love game works, right? And what I know about it is that 9 out of 10 people that you meet are not going to be the one, right? Knowing the numbers ahead of time, I think, saves your heart and saves any of the mental chatter or, you know, stories that you tell yourself that don't serve you, right? 9 out of 10. But it also means that you got to go out on 10 dates, right? To actually find somebody.
That's why I never liked
dating. But I think we're all, you know, a primal fear of ours as humans is to be rejected, right? And we can take it as rejection, as someone who doesn't continue chatting with us, or we can actually just say that that person was one of the nine, And we got them out of the way. And now we're on our path to find that one. Out of 10.
More of this episode after a short break. Are you looking for epic style? Then head over to Epic Places. Epic Places will leave you looking and feeling stylish, like one in a million. Who knew you can look this good? In Epic Places, you will find a variety of women's, men's, and children's clothing, ranging from small to plus size. You will find dresses, skirts, shorts, jeans, jumpsuits, lingerie, and much more. So let's go on a journey to epic places, epic dreams, epic style, and an epic way of life. Head over to www.epicplaces.com for your epic style, or download our app from the Apple Store. That is www.epicplaces.com. This is Life Coach Marina Young, host of the Transform Your Mind to Transform Your Life with Coach Marina television show, radio, and podcast. I want to invite you all to tune in at 6 p.m. every Sunday on the Preach the Word television network, and at 5 p.m. on the radio, WDJY 99.1 FM. Would like to offer you sponsorship of the show. You'll be able to reach 50 million audience on PTWWN TV and over 600,000 on WDJY 99.1 FM. So sponsor the show and take your message to the next level. Take your business to the next level. That's a great mindset shift, is that, you're even the saying, you gotta kiss a lot of frogs before you get your prince. You gotta know that's a numbers game. But you know, it happens where the first person you meet might be the one, you know? So, you know, it's not necessarily all the time that you've gotta go through the 9 to the 10, you know, 10 before you get your one. But I wanted to circle back to a couple of things. You know, I've listened to some, you know, dating and relationship coaches, either in podcasts, I've had them on the show. And one of the things that I believed from what I've heard is that the chemistry was actually the most important thing, because what one of the coaches that I heard said that it's something that can't be created. And if it's not there, it can't be created. So I understand what you're trying to say is that, yeah, the love and the butterflies and all those things dissipate after about 18 months. We all know that. And what's left is, you know, I like what you're talking about, the thought process, how you think, you know, where you want to go, your goals in life. You know, we have a Christian audience. Where does God play in your life? You know, what kind of education or so you want to, so there's those different things. But let's circle back onto the chemistry thing. So you don't believe that chemistry is one of the most important things on that checklist.
I think it's important, but okay. Like I was saying, I want us to prioritize compatibility over chemistry. I would never tell anyone out there to try to get with someone that they have no chemistry with. That doesn't make any sense.
Okay. All right.
What I am saying though, is that
you need both.
It's not the be all end all.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm speaking specifically for women out there because that is something when they feel the vibe, the energy, the butterflies in the stomach, they think that that's what love is because we've been socialized to think that.
That's very
true. That actually completely makes your mind go crazy because you're not thinking critically or anything like that. Yes. That's why I'm saying to deprioritize it as the thing that you make as an evaluation criteria of whether this man is good for you or not, right? Because it doesn't serve you ultimately.
Right.
So I just want to reiterate.
It gets you used because you're going all crazy and the butterflies and you're thinking this is the one, and the guy, which a lot of times, sometimes there might be predators, you know, feed off of that. That's very true. And then your heart is broken because, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So
really quickly, sorry, I want to just continue my thought, which was that like I was saying, I've been doing this for a very long time, and it's really funny because I call this the paradox of the sixes. Every time I work with a client of mine, I force them, I require them to message me right after each date to let me know how it goes, right? And I always ask them, give me a rating from 0 to 10.
Okay.
And the funny thing that happens, and I call it the paradox of sixes, because oftentimes the people that they are giving a rating of like 6 and 7 versus the 9 or the 10 are the ones that they have a higher probability of actually getting with and actually coming together with. And the reason I say that is the people are usually being rated as 6 is because the chemistry isn't necessarily there at first. Mm. But the interesting thing is that chemistry can grow with time. And people don't think about this. They don't think that at first. And I have tons of clients that would rate that person a 4 or a 5 when they first met them, but now they're at 8, 9, or 10, right? Okay. Because there's something that's priceless, that's a connection when you feel safe, when you feel heard, when you feel understood, that makes that person much more attractive and gives you a different level of chemistry that that you couldn't necessarily have just by a physicality of a first date, right? So chemistry is important, but also realize that chemistry can grow with time and that you won't have that time unless there's compatibility. That's why I want the listeners out there to focus on and prioritize compatibility over chemistry.
Okay, so that's good. So let's shift off to, a Christian person that is looking for love, and man or woman, and, they want to have someone that they're equally yoked with. So this is where your compatibility scenario pays out, much more importantly, right? Because, they have to have the same thoughts on certain things. So can you talk about, some of your Christian clients, how they handle, the dating world?
Yeah. So a couple of things. About a quarter of my clients are Christian or have other religions. That is a very important part and a foundational part of their lives.
Right.
And I would never tell my client to forget that. It's important for everyone out there to realize and understand who they are and how they navigate the world and what are the things that are most important to them and what are the things that aren't, right? So being very clear about what your deal breakers are, right? What you have, what you want, and how this person is aligning with the life that you want, right? If you idealize and you want somebody that is going to be going to church with you every Sunday, right? That's going to be going to Bible study with you every Wednesday, right? That you want your kids to be in Sunday school every week, right? Those are the conversations that you need to bring up ahead of time, right? Those are things that you need to have in your profile. Sometimes people are like, well, I don't want to alienate certain people. No, you want to filter people out. You don't want to be dealing with everybody and anybody, right?
I agree.
Want people that want to deal with you. And
we
have to realize that I'm speaking now in our COVID times, that this online profile is a filtering system for only the people that you want to have in. So I would recommend that you talk about that in your profile. One of the things that I do with my clients is I go through their profile to make sure that what they want and how they live their life in this world is truly reflected in their profile, so that we can start to weed out and filter out the people that are not going to be aligned with that. So have something related to how you live your life and what relationship you have with Christ or the Lord in your profile, so that the people that are about that are going to be very much interested in who you are versus the people that are not, that are going to be like, that's not for me.
Saves a lot of time and heartbreak, right? Go ahead.
I was just going to say it. So that first step is to make sure that profile looks like that. Also, with the pictures, make sure that you have some pictures while you're, doing community work or in the community, right?
Okay.
So that those pictures are a representation of your life. And if you're a Christian and Christianity is a part of your life and a sole bedrock of it, your picture should also represent that, right? These people need to understand that this is who you are and this is what you're looking for. So first, the pictures and the profile, that's one thing that we can do to help us filter out. The second thing is that when we're having these conversations on the phone, on FaceTime or video calls, right? And even in our first in real life physical dates, right? We need to be bringing this up, right? Because this isn't like I'm going to negotiate with you about my religion and your religion, right?
It's a deal breaker.
That's not what this is, right? This is about understanding if we see the world in a similar way, if you respect where I'm coming from and it vice versa, right? So I think sometimes people are a little bit shy about bringing those things up just because they don't want to, some people say don't talk about politics and religion on the first date or in the early dates. No. We want to
talk about
that,
it. Okay.
Right? Now more than ever, right? I think I don't want anyone out there wasting time when it comes to dating, right? And if you're playing yourself and you're too afraid to bring these topics up and you're just going to think that you can, you know, slip them under the rug and everything's going to be hunky-dory after 6 months, that's not necessarily going to be the case, right? So I think about dating almost like poker. Like, the best poker players fold their hands pretty quickly so they do not lose money, right? And they play the hands that are actually truly amazing, right? And I want you to be folding those hands pretty quickly, right? Getting through those nine so that you can find the one.
The one. It's true. It's true. And then, you know, we all women have this biological clock. You don't want to be wasting time. A lot of people, you know, don't have those questions. Don't go into that and thinking that the person will change. Women are like that. You know, we always want to take on projects and thinking that the man or so will change. And then you're 2 years into it and you realize that you wasted time and you've got to start all over again. And, you know, our biological clock is ticking. And so you're right. I agree with you. You've got to be bold. You've got to be brave. You've got to have the difficult conversations, you know?
But also, like, speaking about Christianity, at least for the Christian listeners out there, should not be a difficult conversation.
It's
part of your life. It's part of your soul and how you see the world. So these conversations are not difficult. The difficult part is the potential of rejection, right? Again, going back to some of our primal fears, because, you know, when you're thinking about rejections back in, like, the, you know, I think caveman days, right? Rejection of your tribe meant death.
When you were
banished from your tribe and you were all alone in the wilderness, that meant that you were not going to survive. So I think that's really what's coming up when some people get scared and think about that. But I want to encourage you to be bold in dating and also realize that there are so many people out there. I think people have this scarcity mindset about, like, there's only a certain number of people and I have to get it right in each and every day. If the person's not for you, it's not for you. There's millions, billions of people on the earth, right?
And that's what the dating sites has brought up, because one of the things that happens on dating sites from the people I've talked to is that there's an overload. My sister is single and she went on one of the dating sites and I think in one night she had 385 people. I don't even think she went on there, because how are you going to scroll through all that? So it's abundance. The online dating world is opened up, you know, more than, you know, you go out and, you know, when women would go to a bar or a restaurant or something, they've got to wait around for the one guy and they're thinking, you know, I don't want to chase him away. So we need to have this conversation. So, all right. So that's good. I'm understanding that. I am getting where you're saying that, yes, you have to, things that are important to you, you know, even in the olden days, it will say, don't talk about how many kids you want. If you want to get married, you want, you know, just talk about fun things. But you're right, you need to talk about the things that are important to you. And you're hoping that the person that's going to respond honestly, because a lot of times people are not honest. And they say things, you know, what you want to hear. I love your mindset shift, though, about cloning, and, you know, compatibility. Compatibility is always very high. And a lot of times when people are going through the compatibility checklist, they're looking for someone like them. So I'm glad that you pointed that out. You don't necessarily want to clone.
You want to look for a compliment, right? Not a clone, right?
So it's good that you pointed that out. So the big question here is, what do you think is the one thing holding so many people back from a successful love life?
Good question. I think that the biggest issue that's going on is vulnerability, right? Mm-hmm. Vulnerability is how we create all of our connections. And if we are not able to get to a place where we feel comfortable enough sharing all of ourselves, then we can't be loved fully, right? And that is really the biggest issue that's going on. I know a lot of women out there that have been hurt, that have their walls up, right? Mm-hmm. That don't want to be vulnerable because they've, you know, have not had such great relationships in the past and just don't trust as much as they need. You need to have trust in this love game if you're going to be successful. But that comes from being able to be vulnerable and observe how the other person holds space for you, right? So vulnerability is, like, for me, the absolute biggest thing that's going on. And for them, and I was speaking more for the female side, for the male side, right? Mm-hmm. It's also very important, because that's how, you know, and I think a lot about how men date and how they engage, right? Most of their time is in their masculine energy, which is doing, right? Yeah. Acting, performing, right? Thinking and not feeling, right?
Right. And
when they start to feel that, they actually start to connect and actually be present for the women that are in their lives. And so both for men and women, I think vulnerability is, like, the biggest thing. And it's interesting, a lot of people nowadays are oftentimes trying to do, like, a competition of who doesn't care the most, right? They're like, I'm trying to be really cool for school. I don't know how else to describe it. But, like,
you're talking about, like, the rules, right? Don't show him that you care and all those type of things.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Yeah. I want to ask
men
question,
and women.
Right. I want to ask the question of vulnerability, though, because it's really interesting. You know, my husband and I were having a fight the other day, and I was talking to my daughter, who's, like, you know, 30 years my junior, but she's married and she thinks that she's got some input. And she says to me, Mom, you need to be vulnerable. So I said, what do you mean? I'm being vulnerable. So obviously her definition of vulnerability was different from my definition of vulnerability. So for all the other listeners out there, explain what you mean by, let's talk about the women. How can a woman be vulnerable? Because obviously I didn't get it.
So what your daughter may have been talking about is that you, when you were having an argument with your husband, you were probably trying to reason with him intellectually. Right. And vulnerability for a lot of time is leading with your feelings. It's talking about you, not about them or what they've done or anything like that. This is about talking about your feelings. There are different levels of vulnerability, right?
Okay.
You can talk about what's happened to you, like a circumstance, as one level of vulnerability,
right?
You know, I grew up in California, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting, right? The second layer of vulnerability is really about your thoughts about that, how you've interpreted that actual circumstance, right?
Okay.
I grew up in California, and that's made me really open-minded because I got to meet so many different kinds of people in my everyday life, right? That third level, which I think a lot of people actually miss, is that feeling level, right? How those things make you feel, right? And, you know, I grew up in California. I met so many different people out there. And now I feel a connection to, I'll speak personally, to the Mexican heritage, because I have, you know, engaged with them so much, and my family is has a Mexican side to it, and I just feel akin to it, and I feel, like, really at home in that culture and all of that. Those are different feelings, and there's a huge difference between I grew up in California to what I just told you.
Right.
Okay. Right. And that gives you a better sense of who I am.
Right. Right. So to finish the analogy, so a woman is on a date, or because we're talking about dating, we're not married yet. We're on a date and she's, you know, having a conversation with a guy. So she's talking about her feelings and she's opening up herself and being vulnerable. Yeah. And vulnerable means that, you know, she's allowing him to come in that he can hurt her. Because that's what I think vulnerability, you're being vulnerable and you're not closing the door, because when you're not vulnerable, you are putting up a wall because you don't want to be hurt. Is that?
I think that's a little bit of a pessimistic view, but yes, I don't think it's about opening yourself up, right?
Okay. I
think,
I told you I had it wrong.
No, this isn't about wrong or right.
This
is about the framing of it, right?
Right.
There's, because the way that you described it, maybe it's based on the experience that you have, is that that's violation. right? To go into someone's home and to assault them or be mean to them, right? Vulnerability is not that. Okay. Vulnerability is actually outward and sharing, right?
Okay. Well, I do that all the time. I'm a very feeling kind of person, you know? So yes, there's, Mm-hmm. But I got you. So that's what I was thinking. When I think of vulnerable is that you're opening yourself up and you're letting someone in, and people put a block because they don't want to be hurt, because when you let someone in, they can hurt you. So that's basically what I'm thinking vulnerable, which is why I asked you for the question. So, well, what you're saying is that if you become vulnerable, right, and let people in and share your feelings and be yourself, then that is the way that you can be successful. And it's true, because when you let someone in, and they see the real you, and they know that you're not putting on any falsehoods, then they can actually connect with you and start to, you know, to like you. So I get what you're saying. All right. Great conversation. Awesome. So, all right. So as we wrap up, tell our listeners how they can connect with you, talk about how they can, subscribe or listen to your How to Get Your Guy podcast, you know, things like that.
Okay, great. So for any listeners out there that want to kind of continue this conversation, you can always go to my website at www.getyourguycoaching.com. If you want to have a free consultation with me, you can go to that website, www.getyourguycoaching.com/apply. And you can book a free consultation with me, and we'll talk about all the things in your dating and love life. I do have a podcast that I am the host of that comes out every Thursday. It's called Get Your Guy Coaching Podcast. And we talk about all things, confidence, your inner child, past relationships, mindset, owning your story, vulnerability, all of those things. So
that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah. I can tell that you're very successful at what you do. Like your personality just comes on. I'm not flirting.
I just love personality. You're going to have to talk to your husband about that, girl.
Listen, I can read, and I can read people, and I tell that you're very successful at what you do. So that's awesome.
Thank you.
So ladies, if you got that, it's getyourguycoaching.com/apply. If you want to do a strategy session with Anwar, and I'm pretty sure you're on social media, so you can probably connect on social media with
Get Your Guy Coaching. Right. You'll find me everywhere.
Get Your Guy Coaching. All right. So for those regular listeners, you know that there will be a transcript of my conversation with Anwar on my blog, which is blog.myhelps.us. Also links to his website. So you head over there and, you'll be able to connect with him. I think that if you're single, then he's got some pretty good information. So definitely check out his podcast, because you learn so much from podcasts. I listen, I have my own podcast, of course, but I listen to podcasts every morning, because you learn so much from the guest speakers, like what I'm trying to do here, bring information to you that will help you to transform your mind and transform your life. So, Anwar, this was very a pleasant conversation. Thank you so much for being on the show, sharing your knowledge, sharing your personality, and the big old smile. I love it.
Thank you so much.
Everybody
for having
loves
me.
Smiles, so that you got that. So. All right, guys. So once again, thank you for tuning in. Remember to subscribe. If you're listening on iTunes, we'd love for you to subscribe and rate and review. We're also on YouTube as well, the Transform Your Mind YouTube channel. And now we are on television, www.ptwn.com. which is Preach the Word Worldwide Television Network, locally in Atlanta on Comcast on channel 69 and around the world. So definitely hope that you tune in, you're listening on one of those platforms, and that you will continue supporting the work that I do to bring you great guests every week. So thank you, Anwar. And any last words before we wrap up?
Be safe, be well, be love.
Love it, yes. All right, so until next time, namaste.